Susan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Ruby. Good to be with 2SER.
Oh, good to have you. Now, your paper explains that humanities graduates are more likely to have certain transferable skills than those coming from STEM fields. Can you speak to what those skills are?
Yes, what we find, and indeed what, you know, business councils and business industry leadership groups, as well as a whole heap of research finds, is that people who come out of university with humanities-based skills, and those skills are critical thinking, problem solving, adaptability, the ability to put together a whole heap of information, to read it, understand it, synthesize it, analyze it, come up with evidence-based conclusions. Those skills are what we call transferable skills and are really essential to any industry that you go into. What people find with those of our colleagues who are trained in science and engineering, and particularly in IT fields, those fields are extremely important to our society and to the operation of our country and our economy. But people who study in those fields often need to update their skills after a little while. They become out of date, the industries move on, and the people who come out with those skills need to be retrained. What we find with humanities graduates and communications graduates is that those skills sustain them for the rest of their career because they have learned how to adapt. They have learned how to deal with the problem in front of you, that job in front of you, how to unpack it, solve any problems and carry it out. And so those skills are adaptable and they continue to change across your working life. And that is what humanities and communications degrees deliver. And that's why we are most concerned about these policy changes or proposed changes.
Of course. And so, yeah, you just mentioned critical thinking skills, which are taught mostly in the humanities. Would you be able to just further explain why these critical thinking skills are just so important for so many careers? And not just that, but, you know, life as it goes on?
Well, if we don't have critical thinking skills, we're always accepting things the way they are and never working out ways that things can change and be better. Critical thinking also teaches you to question, and this is so important. You know, young people in particular have always questioned the society that they are born into and come up through and belong to and are going to be contributing to. And so for young people to especially learn critical thinking skills, which will set them up for life, means that we're establishing a whole group of people who are able to look at an issue, whether that be race, you know, and connections and relationships between, you know, white and black people in Australia or around the world, and migrants and asylum seekers, whether that issue is race, whether that issue is gender, whether that issue is, you know, concerns about social cohesion. Critical thinking enables you to look at that issue, unpack it, work out what is the best way forward, and then enunciate that. So critical thinking grapples with core social issues which are crucial to the good running of our society. And if you undersell those skills, you know, and that ability to understand and think and problem solve about what's going on in society and in the world, if you undersell that, then you're creating a society that is you know, very vocationally oriented, working out what a current industry wants, meeting that, not thinking about whether that's right or wrong, not thinking about whether that's ethical or not, whether this behaviour is moral or not, but just accepting it and doing it.
Right. And do you think there should be, I guess, like a compulsory level of critical thinking or even communication skills taught within STEM degrees?
Definitely. I think that interdisciplinarity is a good concept and a strong concept. And again, we know from employer surveys and graduate destination surveys that people with STEM degrees do very well if they have some humanities background and basis as well. And conversely, I would say that some humanities graduates who wish to take some STEM fields, environmental science. We have a lot of our Bachelor of Arts communication students who take some environmental science subjects, who take forensic science, who take psychology, you know, so the combination of knowledges is really important and certainly leads to more holistic solutions to big problems. The way that the proposed policy is set up, that the minister, that Dan Tehan proposed last week, they're encouraging humanities and communication students to take STEM subjects because those subjects are now much cheaper. But it doesn't work in reverse. So they're not encouraging STEM graduates or STEM students to take humanities and communication subjects because those subjects are now going to be far more expensive, sometimes 2 to 3 times more expensive than if that student just took another science subject or another math subject. So it's disincentivising that crucial cross-disciplinary thinking between the STEM and arts fields. You know, there's this term around which you would have heard, Ruby, STEAM, you know, which is now including the arts in STEM, STEAM. That is the future. That is the future to solving wicked problems. That is the future to dealing with a very complex society.
Absolutely. And jumping on that combination, how would you suggest that we combine these practices from university level in order to set people up to work together from humanities and STEM?
I think joint degrees are a great way to go. When we're seeing around the world, you know, there are a number of, and I have seen it particularly in North America, you know, there's engineering degrees where the students are required to take a humanities major. There's science degrees where students are required to take either a humanities or communication major alongside it. And we have an increasing number of joint degrees which are doing that. They're joining either a social science field with a what we'd call a hard science field, or they're joining a more humanities communications oriented field with a science area. And so I think joint degrees where you're requiring people to, you know, I'm not a neuroscientist, but to use the left and right side of their brain, you know, on a regular basis is when you start to see really, you know, minds really open up and problems really start to be seen for all their complexity. But you're delivering individuals who are able to understand, you know, all sides of big problems and certainly have enough literacy in other fields to be able to work together. Humanities graduate with a couple of science subjects might not be able to solve a big science issue, but they are literate enough to be able to work with those people far more effectively than if they'd never entered the field. And of course, the reverse happens, that scientists who can work with sociologists, historians, communications, you know, people who deal with words and linguistics, if they have that literacy to be able to work with them, then you're able to create these big comprehensive teams that can deal with all sides of an issue.
Absolutely. Well, Susan, thank you so much for joining us on the show today to talk about this.
Okay, thanks, Ruby.